be with you as we're one of the major supporters of tradition. We've had this vision, I think it was back in 2007 or 2008, that God seemed to want a church here, and we did something very unusual. Do you remember 2009? The economy just went. In January of 2009, we felt so confident that God wanted a church up here in tradition. We did a capital appeal, and all our people were saying, "Are you nuts?" And we raised a whole bunch of money to help this thing get started, and we are just so happy and so proud of what you're doing. I heard you had over 200 on Christmas, Easter. Yes. Way to go. Were you here?
Yes.
All right. That's great. Well, it's wonderful. I want to spend some time talking to you today and reminding you of what the church is and what the church is all about, because sometimes we get confused. And is anybody here for the first time today? Welcome, welcome, welcome. They have a real pastor that's much better than me. And I hope you'll come back and get to meet her and see her, because she's really, really tremendous. But I often, when I'm trying to reflect on, you know, what we're going to do as a church, I think, well, what's the world like out there, and what do people outside think the church is, or what the church is like? And they can get confused. Like, there's church signs. Like, there was this one town, I think it was in Ohio, but I'm not sure, where they kind of started having this church war between the Catholic Church and the Presbyterian Church. They're having this feud. But they weren't doing it, like, in a meeting. They were doing it in the church signs. So the Catholic Church put up this sign. It says, "All dogs go to heaven." How many of you believe all dogs go to heaven? Let's just take a poll. Okay, well, the Presbyterians don't believe that, so they put up this sign right across the street: "Only humans go to heaven. Read the Bible." Well, the Catholics weren't nearly done yet, so they put up the next sign the next day: "God loves all his creatures, dogs included." The next day, the Presbyterians put up: "Dogs don't have souls. This is not open for debate." So the Catholics put up: "Catholic dogs go to heaven." Presbyterians, talk to your pastor. Presbyterians put up: "Converting to Catholicism does not magically grant your dog a soul." The Catholics aren't done yet. They put up a sign: "Free dog souls with conversion." The Presbyterians put up: "Dogs are animals. There aren't any rocks in heaven either." The Catholics put up: "All rocks go to heaven." So you wonder, people driving by that had never been in a church, like, what do they think? You know, what's going on? Then you might drive by this Wildwood Baptist Church, put it aside. "Read the Bible, it'll scare the H out of you." And then if somebody goes to church, like those of you who came today, we're so happy that you came. You read the bulletin, and we human beings, we're imperfect. We make mistakes, and frequently church secretaries make mistakes also. They're usually more perfect than pastors, but this actually appeared in a real church bulletin: "Our youth basketball team is back in action Wednesday night at 8 p.m. in the recreation hall. Come out and watch us kill Christ the King." These are supposedly true. Another church had this one: "The peacemaking meeting scheduled for today has been canceled due to a conflict." Another church put up: "The ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind. They may be seen in the basement on Friday afternoon." Commas. "The low self-esteem group will meet Thursday at 7 p.m. Please use the back door." And this, I've got to admit, is my favorite. "The associate minister unveiled the church's new tithing campaign slogan last Sunday: 'I up my pledge, up yours.'" Well, people would get the idea that the church is just like the Kiwanis or the Masons or the Daughters of the American Revolution. But the truth is that even with our misunderstandings, the mistakes that we make in the church, that is not what the church is. So I'd like to talk a little bit, two things about biblically what the church is, and then we're going to talk about what the church is about. First, the word church in Greek is ekklesia. Ekklesia, which means the gathering of God's people. Yes, there are buildings where people gather, and you can call it a church, but really, it's you. You are the church. You're here today. Next Sunday, some of you will be on vacation. Other people will be here. But that gathering is the church. We're not all the same, and yet we're united under one name of Christian, followers of Jesus Christ. And there are among us believers and non-believers, and those who are really turned on by the Holy Spirit, others who don't know what the Holy Spirit is. There's people that are really, really good, and people that are really, really, well, not so good, and so on. But what makes us the church is our gathering together. The second thing is what St. Paul wrote. He said, and now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. The word for that in Latin is Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. And it's the living, dynamic, organic, breathing, thinking, praying, minister body of Christ. And that's what we're about. Back in the day, we used to sing in our contemporary service a song called We Are the Church. And the chorus went, we are the church, the body of our Lord. We are all God's children. We have been restored. And then Jay Beach actually wrote the song, and he said, the church is not a building where people go to pray. It's not made out of sticks and stones. It's not made out of clay. You can go to worship, but you cannot go to church. You can't find a building that's alive no matter how you search. The church is not a business, a committee, or a board. It's not a corporation for the business of the Lord. The church, it is the people living out their lives, called, enlightened, sanctified for the work of Jesus Christ. And that's what the church is. So I want to share with you, if you're up for it, three Bible passages that talk about what the church does. Like, why are we here? And we're going to go all the way back to the book of Acts and see what they were doing. I'm going to read to you, first of all, Acts 2:42. And the disciples devoted themselves to the teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. First of all, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. Part of being a good Christian, a good church, is to be enlightened about what God is, who God is, what He's about, where He falls, where he is happy, what things that make Him sad, and all that sort of thing. And that changes as time goes, as we get a deeper understanding of who God is and how He is. I had somebody in my church who has a genetic disease have a non-educated Christian come up to her and say, listen, you can't be a very good Christian, because if you prayed hard enough, if you believed hard enough, if you served hard enough, if you would do what God wants you to do, He would heal you of your disease. Like, oh, that just hurts. Because that's not possible. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that if you do all the right things, God's going to give you exactly what you want. It doesn't say that. The second thing is they devoted themselves to fellowship. The Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, gets together. Just like you are together today, if you walked in, you had coffee, there's nice little goodies to eat, and you get together for service, and you do that sort of thing. It's being together and sharing our lives. It's sharing what's going on. If we're really happy, we celebrate together. If we're sad, we cry together. If we're anxious and worried, we pray together. That's who we are, doing those things together. You've got a family. The third thing they did is they dedicated themselves to the breaking of the bread. That's Bible code for celebrating communion. And you do that every week, right?
Yes.
Yep. You get together, and we believe that somehow in this pita and this wine, this grape juice, that somehow mystically Jesus joins us. We're talking at confirmation yesterday with the kids about the sacrament and what we believe as opposed to other people. Some churches believe that when the priest takes the bread, it actually turns into the substance, changes into the body of Christ. The wine actually changes into the blood. And then there's the Reformed tradition that they believe the bread and the wine that you drink and eat when you come to communion is representative of Christ. It reminds you that Jesus did that. Well, Luther was this wonderful oddball guy back in the 1500s who said, no, both of those are lacking. Because the substance really doesn't change because you taste it. It still tastes like bread. It still tastes like wine or grape juice, whichever you prefer. So it's not really a substantive change, but it's way more than just a remembrance. And so he says, well, Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood. And somehow, mystically, spiritually, Jesus joins the elements of communion and it becomes powerful. Powerful, so that when you come and you've got something heavy on your soul, that can be lifted. When you come and you need power and you need strength to face the days ahead, that's what you receive. When you come and you're lonely, my father says that when he goes to communion, my mom died, it'll be 5 years ago, and he's still so lonely, but he says, when I take communion, I am reminded of your mom, my wife of 64 years up in heaven. And so he feels that connection. So that's what it's exciting of what it is. And then the fourth thing says is they pray. They collectively gather the joys and sorrows and pray, lift them up to the Lord. Because we believe that sometimes if we enough people bug God, he gets tired of us, just like that widow in one of the gospel stories. If we bug him enough, he might just change his mind. Are you up for praying then? You know? I think it's a great deal. We can start praying and do that sort of thing. Okay, the second Bible passage I want to share with you. That's really small. Oh, I remember what it is. This is a word from Jesus from John 13. You probably read it in the gospel last week where Jesus said, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. So figure, new commandment, there must have been an old one, right? Huh. Old commandment. And there was one. It was do unto others as they do unto you. So if someone gives you a pat on the back, you give them a pat on the back. If somebody talks trash behind your back, you talk trash behind their back. Somebody steals your car, you steal their car. You know, it's a back and forth type of thing. And back in the old days, and when the rule was created, that was a good thing because it prevented escalation. So if somebody slaps you on your right cheek, you slap them on the right cheek and don't slap them on the left cheek. So that was a good deal. But Jesus came and said, no, I've got a new commandment. I want you to love each other as I have loved you. And how did God love us? Unconditionally. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loves us just as we are. You don't have to go through all this stuff. You don't have to do this and that and everything else and be perfect and get a halo over your head and all that stuff. You don't have to do any of that. It's just there. That's how God loves you. So that means I need to love you the same way. So can you imagine how the world would change if you said something nasty to me and instead of me firing back with something nasty to you, I said, I found something good about you and told you about that. Wouldn't that make a difference? We could turn the world around. That's what Jesus is talking about. Just imagine if I feel insulted by something you say, instead of firing back with another insult, I say something positive about you. Or instead of pointing out your faults, I highlight your abilities, what you can do. And if we take the first step, whoa, it's revolutionary. All right. Then the last passage. It comes from Acts. And I don't know if you read this story. It was in the lectionary last week. It's from Acts chapter 11. And I'm going to read this to you. Oh, hey, look at that, came out right. Whenever you switch formats, it's always a crapshoot. You never know how it's going to come out. But this is the story from the book of Acts. And what was happening, if you know anything about the church when it was starting, it was all for the Jewish people. You know, Jesus came to save the chosen race. Remember from that? And they thought, that's it. It's for us. And then they started figuring out that maybe it was more. And they started bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people, like the Gentiles. Or as one of my kids read yesterday, the Gentiles. Oh, no wonder I'm not here. You know what? My thing fell off. It's hanging on my cross. Well, we'll move it up. Anyway, so this is kind of... All right, I'm sorry. How's that? Oh, now you can hear me. Not at a shout so loud. I'm going to read this story. It's out of the book of Acts, and I'm going to read from the Message. I don't know if you're familiar with that. That's kind of a modern-day paraphrase. But anyway, it says, when Peter got back to Jerusalem, some of his old associates were concerned about circumcision, called him on the carpet. And they said, what do you think you're doing? Rubbing shoulders with that crowd, eating what is prohibited, and ruining our good name? So Peter, starting from the beginning, laid it out for them step by step. And this is what he said. He said, recently, I was in the town of Joppa praying, and I fell into this trance, and I saw a vision. Something like a huge blanket lowered by ropes in its four corners came down out of heaven and settled on the ground right in front of me. Now, milling around the basket in the blanket were farm animals, wild animals, reptiles, birds, you name it, it was there. So fascinated, I took it all in. And then I heard this voice say, Peter, go, kill, and eat. And I said, no way, Jose. I mean, no way, Master. I've never been so much as tasted food that wasn't kosher. The voice spoke again. Yo. Well, that's not in the Bible, but. If God says it's okay, it's okay. And he said, this happened three times, and then the blanket was pulled back up into the sky. It was pulled back up into the sky. And it makes you kind of wonder, what was he praying about? But he must have been praying about something that had to do with, let's open this thing up to other people. And then he mused at the end, and he said, and since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way? Who was I to stand in God's way? And that's kind of what growing a church is all about, is you taking your excitement, your enthusiasm, the grace that you have felt of God, and sharing that outside with your community. And this is a fabulous community. The first time I saw it, I said, I want to move here when I retire. This looks like a great place to go. It's fabulous. And there's wonderful people here. And you know them. And if you just gently and graciously share your faith, eventually that Holy Spirit is going to work through you and bring them in. And something else that's very exciting to me about your approach is that you're open to all people. No one is excluded. Last Sunday, I put in my bulletin, we had a bring your family and friends day at our church. And I put this in the bulletin, and I'm going to close with this. It said, we extend a special welcome to those who are single, married, divorced, gay, filthy rich, or dirt poor. We extend a special welcome to those who are crying newborns, skinny as a rail, or could afford to lose a few pounds. We welcome you if you sing like Andre Pacelli or like our pastor who can't carry a note in a bucket. You're welcome here if you're just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail. We don't care if you're more Catholic than the Pope or haven't been to church since little Joey's baptism. We extend a special welcome to those who are over 60 but not grown up yet. To teenagers who are growing up too fast, we welcome soccer moms, NASCAR dads, starving artists, tree huggers, vegetarians, and junk food eaters. We welcome those who are in recovery or still addicted. We welcome you if you're having problems or if you're down in the dumps or if you don't like organized religion. We've been there too. If you blew it, all you're offering at the dog track, you're welcome here. We offer special welcome to those who think the earth is flat, work too hard, don't work at all, can't spell, or are just here because grandma's in town and they had to go to church. We welcome those who are inked, pierced, or both. We offer a special welcome to those who could use a prayer right now, had religion shoved down their throat as a kid, or just got lost in traffic and ended up here by mistake. We welcome tourists, seekers, doubters, bleeding hearts, and you. So it's my prayer for you as you continue the wonderful ministry that you're doing in the name of Christ. Keep it up. Keep your energy high. Keep filled with that Holy Spirit that comes through knowing Jesus Christ. And we are praying for you every step of the way. Amen.